And I was just reflecting on it, I guess, yesterday and thinking, well, there's the obvious things. There's the, yeah, okay, you've got reliable power, means you can run lights, means you can keep a fridge on, which means you can keep blood cold, means you can keep specialist medicine that needs to be refrigerated, means you can have operating lights. In one sense, they're sort of the obvious things. But then there's this whole flow-on effect where the system was installed at the beginning of civil war, and the last 12 months have been fairly ordinary over there, where many, many, many thousands and thousands of locals have fled into northern Uganda, into refugee camps because it's too dangerous to live there. And you'd think that, you know, we sort of, well, you know, I was sort of worried to think, well, what if the rebels get in there and just loot the place and destroy it? But actually, it's had the opposite effect. What it's done is it's actually created, a safe haven where people could see this is a good place, this is a secure place. And even to the point where the South Sudanese leaders and various bishops and even international organisations saw the potential there, this great hospital with reliable power, and started to back it. And even to the point where locally trained nurses and doctors wanted to come to Inzara Hospital because they have this reliable power, because they've actually got a presence on the ground, because it's actually a functioning hospital that can actually do something. And it's actually created a snowball effect where people are coming from, actually even from different countries, because they know there's a hospital there and they know that it's working, and that if you go to the hospital, you actually get better, you know. You know, and it's amazing to see that. So it's this whole different level of education. So now there's some education programs going on. They're looking at getting better internet connection on at the hospital. Currently, they've got a satellite link, but it's all part of this same vision to say, well, okay, we've got an issue. We've got a medical issue that we don't know the answer to. We've got internet access. We can contact a doctor in Australia and say, this is the issue. This is the situation. What do you think we should do? And it just opens up, you know, something that's in such a foreign, hostile place out to the rest of the world. And so it was really encouraging to hear that from Danny when I spoke to him the other day. And just to, you know, he was so excited to see, even though things go, you know, for our standards, very slowly, he can see that there's starting to be fruit from the work that was done 2 years ago, and now it's starting to roll out into more stages.
That must be incredibly rewarding for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful to see a project evolve like that, and that it's bigger than something that you sort of do and go and that's it. You know, you can see something change a community and ultimately change, you know, let's hope a nation, is absolutely rewarding. Yeah, for sure.
When you started, did you have any idea the impact that it would have?
No, I guess, you know, a bit naive and a bit sort of, not gung-ho, but a bit, I can do that. I've always had this, I've sort of been trained from an apprentice. I remember my boss that I had when I was an apprentice, he was one of these can-do guys. He never said no to anything. And, yeah, no, we can do that, we can do this. And we used to do the most crazy projects and crazy things because of that drive and that attitude. And that's contagious. And I caught that. And I have that same sort of philosophy now, even just with my business here. It's sort of like, yeah, we can do that. We'll give that a go. And I'm often looking for the projects that are very left field, that, you know, either people are just like, no way am I going to do anything like that, or too risky, or just too complicated, or whatever. They're the ones that are sort of attract me. So that's what started it. But yeah, but absolutely, to see the effect that it's had is, I definitely would have underestimated it. Yeah, for sure. And it's not the end as well. And that's the amazing thing about this story is what we've done is actually stage one of probably 10 stages. you know, but it is that foundation, it's that backbone that's going to enable all this other infrastructure and support network and community and training and lives saved. Yeah.
And so with the system that's there now, how is it monitored and maintained?
So like I said, we've got satellite internet on there, and that was predominantly done for the solar to start with, because we needed to be able to see the system remotely. So that's one of the biggest challenges of working in this context, is you've got the whole cultural barrier for training. You've also got the technical barrier where there's nobody on site that's really technically minded. There's no electrician down the road. No, this stuff doesn't exist. So we had to, on one level, design and build an operation manual that was really, really simple. So lots of photos and pictures and really simple graphical information, so that the medical staff on site could at least do some basic checking and fault finding and understand the basics of the system. And we put together some really basic alarm lights, you know, a big, great big red light that comes on if there's something wrong, you know, or, you know, and just some really basic things so that they can at least visually see if something's not right or is right. But then the whole next level above that is for us to be able to see what's going on, to be able to make changes. So that's what we did. We put internet in, satellite internet, and I can control the system here. I can monitor it. We can graph data. We can essentially do whatever we want from here, which is quite amazing. And it goes back to this, you know, state-of-the-art sort of first world technology applied in a context like that. I think is worth so much more than what it could be here. You know, it's one thing to have remote monitoring here, but you can drive an hour and a half down the road and check it. But to have remote monitoring at the other end of the world, that's cool.
What's on the horizon now? Do you have any projects out there that you're pondering on?
Yeah, there is some in the Gurgler. Nothing confirmed yet. Possibly another project in a different African country. And maybe also some more local projects up far Western Australia. So, yeah, there's things on the go. I think there always will be. I think it's a big part of who I am, and that's what gets me out every day. I think that's what keeps me going with with my day business here, is that I guess that bigger picture, that the world is a lot bigger than Tasmania, even though Tasmania is the best place in the world to live. I think there's a lot that can be done, and I love to be part of that for sure. Yeah.
When you were heading over, and you knew that, you know, the civil war was heating up and that sort of thing, were you concerned for your safety? And I mean, you've got family back here. What did they think?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have asked me about that. I think even when I went the first time, people thought I was a bit mad. And I guess if you don't know the real context and you don't know the detail, I don't blame people. I think it's only a natural response. But I guess it's a progression over time where you get to know the people and you get to know the organisations involved, and you start to talk with these people and you grow to love them, I guess, and you grow, you develop a rapport with them. And you think at the end of the day, you think, well, this is their world. They live, they survive. There's organisations that work in these contexts. There's mission organisations that work in these contexts. There's medical organisations that work in those contexts. And yes, you've got to be sensible, absolutely. But sometimes if you're too sensible, you barely get out of bed in the morning. Like even here, you know, I mean, you could get hit by a truck. So it's something to work through, yes, absolutely. But, you know, and it's something I work through with my family. And even to the point where we actually went over, I actually took my whole family over for one trip. Yeah, so in between the two projects, I actually took my family to Yay for 5 weeks. So, and that was a lot harder for people. I think they could sort of work, get their head around me going on my own, but not taking my three kids and my wife. But it was the same philosophy there. My wife's a midwife. And obviously, you know, quite passionate about women and babies and childbirth. And so for her to be able to experience the culture and the reality over there, and to be able to learn from them and to see how they do things there, but also to be able to help and give some input on that level, was obviously very valuable to her. But we had to go through that whole process again with them to go over with our kids. But I think in the end we thought, well, our friends are over there with their kids. There's a safe compound. They've got security guards. They've put things in place to make it as safe as you could do given the context. And I think that was enough for us to say, well, that'll do. Let's go. Yeah.
Martin, thanks so much for having a chat and telling us about this incredible, I guess, journey you've been on.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Thank you.